You start turning on each other, you're gonna make me nervous. I did paramedic work for a little bit of time, and it always scares me when somebody starts going into whatever they go into, AFib, BFib, I don't know. It's just scary. You know, it's no fun. Somebody told me a long time ago, old age ain't for sissies.
Right.
And the older we get, sometimes, I was talking to Brother Cliff last night, you know, as we get older, you just never know. But I'm glad that I get to serve the Lord. I'm glad to be here. Last year, I foolishly, a buddy of mine, who's been a friend of mine for 25 years, begged me to do a revival meeting, do an America rally for him last year at his church up in New York. And it was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, or Thursday, Friday, skip Saturday, and Sunday all day. And so I left here Wednesday afternoon and had to drive home to get my wife. And it just was crazy. And he asked, I told him, I said, man, you know, I'm missing a good meeting up there in Black Creek. He says, where's Black Creek? And he lives in New York. I said, it's a place you need to show up. And I invited him to come. But I just told him, he called me up this year, tried to line that same meeting up. I went, no, I ain't coming this year. He said, why not? I said, because I missed last year. I said, he said, but we had a good time. I said, yeah, but I didn't. I had a great time preaching at his church, and I love him. He's one of my dear friends. I can talk to him like I can talk to few preachers in this country. But this morning they told me I had about 35, 40 minutes, 45 minutes. I'll give it to you as quick as I can. I want you to find your Bible. Find Genesis chapter 8. And while you're going there, I'm just glad to be here. I'm glad to be anywhere. I heard some great preaching last night. Thank you, gentlemen. I enjoyed myself. Brother Ashcliffe got up last night, and I'm sitting there listening, and the deeper he got, I'm going, okay, I'm with him so far. Okay, I'm with him so far. He said one or two things, and I'm going, and they went, don't look at me funny. A couple of them things went by you, too. And I got home last night after I was writing down, I'm underlining, I'm circling stuff, and I'm going, okay. I got down there, and God said, and God was sitting there back there. You know the great thing about being saved is you know you're saved.
Amen.
Amen. You can't get away from it. And while look, I don't know what was going on in your head, but I know what was going on in mine the whole time everybody was preaching. God said, yeah, you're okay.
Amen.
When Brother Ashcliffe got up and started, I mean, he got zeroed in, and it was serious, and I was like, and God said, there was a peace. I tell you what, if you're not saved, you are missing out. It's your fault. I mean, it's your choice. But I'm just so glad. But last night, I got alone with God last night, and I bring every message I can with me. I knew I was coming, so I figured, well, I got a message, and I got another message, and God just gave me two or three of them, and I've been working on them, and last night God said, none of them are going to work. And I went, but I prepared them for here. I don't know what that means to you, but Genesis chapter 8, I want to talk to you. I got an unusual, just a weird little thought, and I'm good with weird little thoughts. I'm an Italian boy, and I'm weird. There ain't no doubt about that. Somebody said, you're a nut. Hey, I'm a nut, but I'm screwed onto the right bolt. And take your Bible and find Genesis chapter 8. And look at verse 15. The Bible says, and God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wives, and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Let's pray and then we'll get started. Father, we love you. Holy Ghost of God, would you please take control of this mind of clay and these lips of clay, this tongue of clay, and help me to think and then to speak what you would have for your people this morning. God, would you give us ears to hear and hearts to understand and apply your word. Lord, we just want to tell you we love you. Father, we thank you for being good to us. Help us today in Jesus' name. Amen. I draw your attention. Like I said, I read my Bible and I mark all over it because I can't remember stuff, and I got paperclip because I can't remember stuff. And as you get older, I thank God for different colored inks and for different colored paperclips. Amen. And they all mean something different. But as I was reading this, and you just excuse me for just a minute, and don't think, well, this guy don't know what he's talking about. But I just, as I looked at this, the Bible says, now Noah's been on the ark for a long time. He's now off the ark, and the Bible, the first thing he does is he builds an altar. And this is the first mention of the word altar right there. But then it says in verse 21 that he offers all the clean fowl and the clean beast upon the altar for a burnt offering on the altar. And the Bible says in verse 21, and this is what threw me off. And the Lord smelled. Huh? What do you mean he smelled? You know, growing up in a Catholic church as a young man, I always thought God was a spirit and God didn't have a nose. Hey man, don't look at me funny. That's why I kind of grew up. I know better now. But as what I saw, the Bible says, and the Lord smelled. Here's what it says. He smelled a sweet smelling savor. I mean, we now got a clean slate. And a start over. God has started this whole thing over.
Amen.
With eight folks. And Noah built an altar. And the Bible says that he offered those animals. And God leaned over heaven and went.
Amen.
That's what I've been looking for. He looked over and he went. Finally, fresh, clean. I mean, he smelled that sweet smelling savor. And then the very next phrase out of the word of God, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil. From his youth neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Clean start, fresh start. God leans over heaven and goes, that's what I've been waiting for. That's what I've been waiting for. That sweet smelling savor that says everything's okay. Everything's good. Everything's real. A serious scent that God recognized as real. Can I say this morning? I've got about three titles for this message. As I've been thinking about it, my question to you is this. What smell are you giving off? What smell are you giving off? Maybe I ought to call it a sweet smell in the nostrils of God. Maybe I could call it, what do you smell like to God? You see, our lives smell like something. We give off an aroma. We were talking about, listen, it's been preached about all the time. There's just something different about being a Christian. Something different about the reality of being saved. Something different. There ought to be something different in the life of every child of God that says, hey, I'm his and he's mine.
Right.
And we get around, folks. Can they sense that we know God? You see, I just believe this morning that there are some good smells in the Bible. The Bible says in Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 13, the fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vine with the tender grapes give a good smell. You see, there's a lot of smells in the Word of God, a lot of good smells. You know, I was growing up, I'm an Italian boy. I mean, I'm Italian right to the bone. I can trace my roots back to Adam. He was Italian, kicking in that. In my heritage, they were crazy. But every Sunday, Grandma made a meal for this many people. These were my immediate relatives that would show up every Sunday. Grandma started taking stuff out of the freezers Wednesday. She started cooking all of it Thursday. And Thursday and Friday she cooked and made the spaghetti sauce. Saturday morning she put the sauce on the stove. I'm talking about a pot of sauce as big as this pulpit. And she just cooked that stuff slowly. I'm talking about spaghetti sauce that make your tongue slap your brain out your head if you put a bowl of it right there. And I can remember on summer days like this when the windows were open, that smell would waft out of the outside. And we had migrant workers that worked on our farm out in South Jersey. My grandfather had about 400 acres of tillable acres, and it was one of the bigger farms, but we did everything manually, and all the farmers and all the help would go, What's Grandma cooking? I said, what does it smell like? It smells like spaghetti. I said, no, that's called sauce. Noodles don't smell like anything. I said, that's sauce, brother. That's sauce. It's not gravy, it's sauce. In case I'll end the debate. Amen. It's sauce. I mean, you take that fresh piece of Italian bread, and she'd make fresh Italian bread. She'd make her own fresh homemade noodles. And I tell you what, you could drive in the parking lot on Sunday after church, and my grandfather would look at you and say, hey, I'm going to care what time you go to church. At 1:30, we go to eat. You be here. You know, here we start without you. And about 1:15, everybody starts pulling in the parking lot, and Grandma, they had a gigantic parking lot like you have out back out over here. And I mean, you walk in, you in the parking lot, in Grandma's yard, your mouth start watering. I mean, it was on. Because you knew what was coming. We're going to eat till you want to pop. And then you're going to want to eat some more. And I thought about all the smells as I, through my life, all the different things. God says here that the Lord smelled a sweet smelling savor. If you look at the book of Leviticus on your own, you check out chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3, and 8 times God says about the offering, he says he smelled a sweet smelling savor, a sweet smelling savor. It's all through it. I've got SS's alongside of all the verses in that book talking about the sweet smell, that sweet smelling savor. Listen, God is interested in our lives giving off the right or wrong.
Amen.
I'm sick to death. I like when the Vernon's preaching in Young Vern. He said people get mad. Hey, Grandpa said this, you get mad, you just got to turn around and get glad again. If I make people mad, 60 years old, I don't care.
I call it like I say, you get mad, you get over it.
If you don't, oh well. I'm not trying to make anybody mad, but I want to ask you a question. What does your life smell like to God? What does your life smell like to God? Listen to what the Bible says. Take your Bible and go to Philippians chapter 4. Would you go to Philippians chapter 4? Philippians chapter 4, and I want you to find verse 15. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15, the Bible says this. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again into my necessity, not because I desired a gift, but I desired fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus. You thought my name was bad. The things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. God said, Paul says, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God, he says, I have received of you, he says, an odor of a sweet smell. The things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell. Look what he says, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing. He didn't say to me, he said, well-pleasing to God. You see, I believe our life ought to give off a sacrificial smell. Our life ought to give off that sacrificial smell, that which is acceptable, that which is suitable, that which God wants our lives to give off. Let me ask you a question. When you hear about needs, when you hear about things that are going on, do you even care? They talked about prayer last night. When you hear about, and I'm not saying, I know the majority of the people in this room care. At least I hope you do. But I'm one of these guys, when I got a prayer request, I've got about 80 preachers on my phone. If you've got a request for me to pray, so did about 85 other people. I've got some folks in foreign fields. I send them a different message. Same message, but it's on a different thing. Because I want people to pray. Listen, I think we ought to be willing to sacrifice a little bit of our time and a little bit of our life and want to be a part of helping, bearing one another's burdens and so fulfilling the law of Christ. And I believe when we sacrifice our life, a little bit of our life, when we live a sacrificial life, that which is pleasing to God, God leans over heaven and goes, that's what I want for your life, child of God. That's what I want. I want a sacrifice. I want a sweet-smelling savor from your life, a sacrificial. Let me ask you something, young person. I'm supposed to leave these stupid glasses on because they are bifocals. That's what happens when you turn 60. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is your life sacrificial to God? Is your life, let me ask you this. Is it open to God's will for your life? Is it open to God's will for your life? Well, preacher, you just don't understand. I got plans. What plans you got? Come on. Do they include him? Have they ever included him? I see young people all the time. And, well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. Really? How do you know? Who told you? Who gave you permission?
God.
Here's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid we don't check with God about anything. We draw out this gigantic plan for our lives and go, hey, look at this. This is what I want to be and do. And we don't ever talk to God. When was the last time you got in the Bible, you got on your face and said, God, what do you want from me?
Right.
You see, we're not sacrificial to God. This is my life, and you can't have it.
Right.
I'm not giving up any of it. It's mine. I live it the way I want. I'm going to say something, you might disagree. A lot of people say, well, I'm saved now, I can do whatever I want. You didn't get what I got. Say what you want. You can look at me, all the funniness you like. I can make ugly faces too. But when I got saved, things changed. Old things were passed away, all things became new. And I mean, it started on the inside, it started working its way out. Brother, I've made some people mad. I still make them mad.
Amen.
I've been making them mad for 38 years. I've been working on this bad attitude so long, I ain't fixing to change any time in the near future. Well, all I'm saying is this. We got some kind of idea this life is mine. It's not yours.
Hey.
He saved you for a purpose. He saved you for a reason. He saved you because he wants you to serve him. He wants you to sacrifice. He wants you to understand your life belongs to him. You're born with Christ. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God. You don't belong to yourself. I'm so sick to death. Well, I can do what I want now. You got a Bible verse for that? Trust me, I'd look for it. If I could find it, I'd be doing my own thing right now. I can't find one that I can do what I want. Not and love him.
Yeah.
Not and have God lean over the portals of my life and go,
amen, amen.
Lou, that's what I want.
Good.
I'll be honest with you. There have been many times I'm afraid God's leaned over heaven, over my life and went,
Woo! You're right, preacher. Yes, sir. Exactly right.
Oh, boy, that stinks.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to have to say that. But that's the truth. Can I say our life needs to give off a sacrificial smell? What that aroma that just says, God, I'll do whatever you want. You know something? Those of us in this room there are folks in this room that walk with God and know God. They can sense. They know. You were talking about that mark, them old men that mark. It's like putting on cologne.
That's right.
We look, we observe, we listen, and we go.
Yep.
I was at a camp meeting many years ago. That's why I don't go to any many camp meetings. They scare me. I come here because I know John Ashworth. I don't go to a lot of them. They scare me. I was in a camp meeting in New York. And the guy got up to preach. And I'm listening. I'm going, that don't make no sense.
That don't make no sense.
I know that ain't right. At the end of the service, I kept my mouth shut because, you know, I'm the new guy. I kept my mouth shut. After the service, I went to the pastor and I said, I'll be leaving. Why? I said, because that guy had just got up and preached. He preached. He didn't preach God's word. He preached a bunch of junk. I said, I don't know what it was. He goes, well, he's a briar. I'd never heard that term. A briar. I said, well, I got a bride. I said, what's a briar? He's a Baptist briar. In other words, if you don't get saved in a Baptist church, you don't go to a Baptist church. And it hasn't been started by a Baptist church. So you can't even go to heaven. And Baptists are going to have a little spot in heaven that's just theirs. And I'm going, where does it say that?
Yeah, I like that.
Amen.
Well, he preached all this stuff, and I was so confused. I got in the car, and I told the pastor, I said, I'll be seeing you. He goes, no, I'm going to preach you tonight. I said, no, you don't want to do that. It will not be in your best interest.
Yeah.
And he did, and I stayed. I preached. I made everybody mad, and I went home. Because I preached on a simple, sacrificial Savior that'll save anybody. And I just, all I'm saying is this. Let me ask you a question. What does your life smell like to God? What does it smell like to God? Is it sacrificial? Young person, mom and dad, is your life open to God? Open to God's will? Open to God willingly? Are you seeking to be well-pleasing? Will you do whatever God says? Will you do whatever is needed? I've talked to a lot of people. A lot of people want to serve the Lord. Here's what they say. I want to serve the Lord, but. What do you mean, but? But out! If you want to serve the Lord, do it. But they come to the pastor and they say, preacher, I want to serve the Lord, but this is what I'll do. And they list all the things they want to do. I want to preach the sermon. You know, I want to sing in the choir. I want to be one of the big shots. I want to be in front of everybody. But the pastor says, well, I need you to cut the lawn. What? I need somebody to clean the bathroom.
Whoa.
Clean the bathroom? Do you know who I am? Do you? I like Brother Vernon says. He says, I like to be liked. I like to be liked. But bottom line is, do we really know who we are? We're a bunch of undeserving, vile sinners saved by the grace of God. You say, preacher, I deserve more than that.
Yep.
Where do you get that?
Yeah, right.
I'll tell you what you deserve. You deserve to be in hell with your back broke, burning like an Italian sausage, and God saved your soul.
Amen.
Amen. We need to give off a sacrificial smell. Take your Bible, go to John chapter 12. While you're going there, I'll start reading because I'm running out of time. John chapter 12, find verse 3. The Bible says, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, stinking devil, That doesn't say that in the Bible. I just threw that in for good measure. Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had to bag and bear what was put therein. In other words, he took care of all the finances. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. You see, not only does our life need to give off a sacrificial smell, but can I say this morning, I believe our life needs to give off a submissive smell. A submissive smell. The Bible says that she took this ointment of spikenard, a pound of it, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. I mean, they sat either on the ground or they sat on little stools, as I've read some of these archaeology things. And here's what she did. She got down, and I mean, as well, she put the ointment, that ointment on his feet, and she wiped his feet with her hair. That which God had given her to glorify him. The Bible says a woman's hair, long hair, is for a covering. It's her glory. And with all the glory she could muster, she was willing with it to glorify God in complete submission. Tell you what we don't have anymore. We don't have any humility these days in folks. Last night he was preaching. He used that 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. You see, there'll be no prayer without humility. There'll be no living for God without humility. There's nothing that you'll do for God the way it's supposed to be done if it's not done in submission, if it's not done in humility. Can I read you a couple of verses? Good, I'm going to. The Bible says this, better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. The Bible says, by humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Isaiah 57:15 says this, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell, notice where he dwells, in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. Jesus made this statement in Matthew 18:4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Can I say this morning, I believe what God's looking for is to lean over heaven, over our life, and go, ah, there's that humble, submissive spirit I've been looking for.
Yeah, amen.
One that says, not my will, but thine be done. That's what he said on the cross, not my will, but thine be done. Hey, I just want what you want, God. Where's that kind of Christian today? Where's that kind of humility today? Where's that kind of submission in the Christian life? God, whatever you want, I want. God, whatever you say, I'll do. God, wherever you go, I'll go. God. 7 years ago, in a revival meeting that I was preaching, a missions conference that I was preaching down in Pennsylvania. I love the state of Pennsylvania. I love the state of New York. If I didn't have those two states, I'd starve to death. I had a lot of meetings in the state of New York and a lot of meetings in the state of Pennsylvania. I love those states. But Pennsylvania is kind of a little special to me because I was preaching a meeting and I was preaching a missions conference. While I was preaching that missions conference, I talked about back then it was 6.8 billion people in the world or 6.5 billion people in the world and 3.1 billion that have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And while I was preaching, 20 minutes into my message, Brother Ashworth, 20 minutes in, I made that statement. I admitted it 100 times in missions conferences. And God said, I want you to do something about it. And I stopped. I went, I'm thinking, you can't be talking to me. I'm already doing something. I tried to go back to my message, but my mind, it was like I was the only person in the room. God smote my heart in such a way, I just went to the altar and started bawling. Number one, I was scared to death. Because I thought he wanted me to go to East Jabit nowhere. I didn't know what he wanted, but I was scared. And I went to the altar and I said, God, I'll do what you want, but I sure don't understand what you want. And I was there, I don't know how long I was there. I don't know how long I was there. All I know is when I got up, the preacher was there, right alongside of me, and he put his arm around me. He said, because I was bawling, I'm shaking, that's snot running everywhere. That's why I carry a handkerchief for the sweat and a handkerchief for the snot. Amen. Amen. That one goes back here, this one goes in here. Amen. Never do the twain meet. Preacher put his arm around me. He said, Brother Lou, you going to be okay? And I got up, man, snot and tears running down my face. I said, I don't know. I said, I'm going to go back to my room. He says, I'll pick you up tomorrow. I said, don't pick me up. I'll be here tomorrow for church. I said, just.
For 2 nights, I fasted and prayed. Scared to death. Called my wife. Honey, just pray. I don't know what to do. I didn't call anybody. I just called her. And while I was on my face, I said, God, I'll do whatever you want. I said, I sure don't know. Let me ask you a question. You willing to let God speak to you? You willing to do whatever he says to do? And I say, since that time, God started changing things. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to add the rest of the world to your ministry. I got hooked up with Bob DeWitt. Everybody knows Bob DeWitt. I got hooked up with Bob DeWitt. Love Bob DeWitt. God started teaching me some things. 2 years ago, God got a hold of Bob's heart. But Bob wants to go to... Bob's focus is Burma. Praise the Lord. He's focused. He's plugged in. But God said, I want you to go everywhere. From that time, in that boy's church in Pennsylvania, till today, God has allowed me to go to several different countries. I'm supposed to go start a church in Belize in September. They speak English. Hallelujah. I can speak some English. Not good, but some. Not as bad as you. Hey, I was down south. I had to learn a new language when I went south. Amen. You had to learn a lot of stuff down south. You had to learn what fixing meant. Because I thought everything was broke. We fixing to go to the store. We fixing to eat. We fixing. I said, what are you fixing? My buddy was from Mississippi. Everything was he was fixing to do. He said, I'm fixing to go get me some vittles. You want to go? I said, what are vittles? Anyway. But God, listen, God's opened doors. I'm talking to preachers now that are in Zimbabwe. I'm talking to preachers now that are in Zaire. I'm talking to preachers now that are in Ethiopia. I'm talking to preachers now that are in India. I just met a little girl. My wife and I went out to breakfast yesterday. Two days ago, Monday, I had blood tests and a bunch of other stuff that we haven't had done in like forever. And we had a bunch of stuff done. We went out to breakfast in this new place. And I walk in the door. And there are all these Asians. I looked at the one little girl who seated us and I said, what's your nationality? I said, I know you're Asian descent. I said, and you're not Burmese and you're not Philippine. She goes, I am Vietnamese. And I went out to the truck and I got a Vietnamese tract and handed it to her. She goes, thank you very much. And a little girl saw me hand her a tract, and she walks by, and I went, and she looked at me, and her eyes just sparkled, and I fell in love with her. And I told my wife, I gotta go talk to her. And I called her over, come here. She was not my waitress. She said, yes. I said, what's your nationality? I said, you're not Filipino. I said, you're somewhere either Cambodian. She goes, you're close. She goes, I'm Laotian. I said, can I ask you a question? I said, have you ever heard the name of Jesus? And she started crying. She said, a missionary came to my village and led my parents to Christ. She said, look, there's nothing there now, nothing, and nobody. As I was sitting having breakfast, God said, you've got to do something about that. I don't know how. But I just want to be submissive to God, whatever he wants. I'll go wherever he wants. I'll say whatever he wants. Let me ask you a question. How's your submissiveness to God this morning? You see, God's looking for us to
It meant to give off a submissive smell. I'm almost done, preacher. I've lied before. Can I say thirdly, I believe we need to give off a steadfast smell. Listen to what the Bible, take your Bible and go to Ephesians chapter 5. You might as well look at it with me. You're in Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor.
Amen.
God says, walk in love as Christ also has loved us. I'm so glad he loves us. I'm so glad he loves us. I'm so glad I'm loved by God. Man, I enjoyed your sermon so much last night. Dude, I thought about it all night. Matter of fact, I was writing notes. I got a sermon. That I'm going to preach your sermon. Amen.
Amen.
It spoke to my heart. I can't preach Brother John's sermon because he just... I'm just kidding. But he taught me something last night that I had never seen about that Holy Spirit going through the blood. I had never seen that. Never, never. I'm sitting there going, is that right? God said, yeah, it is, dummy. Don't look at me funny. You thought the same thing. I just never heard that. But as I read this, God says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. That means in this life, we're supposed to walk our path, our journey. We're supposed to go where he would go, do what he would do, and love like he would love. Then it says this, and have given himself for us. This is why we do it. An offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. I believe every time Jesus did something, God leaned over heaven and went, that's what I'm looking for. Every time you and I, as his children, love on people and care about people and try to love them to God, try to love them to Christ, try to get them in church, try to help them. Listen, thank God for this place. Out in the middle of nowhere, Black Creek Baptist Church, nobody but y'all know where it is. But God does. And I believe God leaned over heaven and goes, yes, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a sweet-smelling savor that's steadfast, that's real, that walks, that's true, that doesn't change, that keeps the book. Man, I'm almost tired of going places where they don't believe what I believe. And I got to walk in on eggshells. Well, I wonder if I can preach this sermon. And God says, hey, talking to you. You do what I say.
Amen.
Right. I ain't going to get no support that way. Well, then just do it alone and I'll leave you alone.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Man.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I know that sounds stupid, but I've done that before. Yes. I've done that before.
Yes.
No, and I'm going to get in trouble for what I'm about to say.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And God says, either you do what I say, or you do it your way, and I'll just walk away. No, don't do that. Please don't do that. And I'm at the place now where I just say what I need to say. But let me ask you a question. Does your life give off that offering and sacrifice to God, that sweet-smelling savor that walks in love? Does your life have that faithful, that faithful smell that says, I'm going to do what he wants. I'm going to be faithful to him. I'm going to be faithful to his word. I'm going to be faithful to prayer. I'm going to be faithful to church. I'm going to be faithful with my money. I'm going to be faithful to tell folks about Jesus. I'm going to be faithful with my body. I'm going to be pure. And I'm going to be clean. And I'm going to be decent. I'm going to be faithful. What does your life say? What does your life say? Does your life, when God leans over, you go, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that steadfast, faithful smell. Look, I'm a fat boy. I'm a pretty big boy. I can drive by your barbecue. I can drive by your grill. And with probably 90%, 95%, I like summertime. Because when I'm driving them down the highway, I go, oh, they're cooking hot dogs. Oh, that's hamburger. And cheap hamburger. I can drive by. I like driving by them black neighborhoods. Because only black folks and Italian folks know how to barbecue ribs.
Yeah. Amen.
Ooh, I have stopped. I have stopped. Honestly, I stopped in. I was in a neighborhood, driving through a black neighborhood, and while I was driving through the neighborhood, it said Joe's Barbecue. Okay, and see, when I drove by, my tongue started hitting the brake. The smell overcame me through the air conditioner. I pulled up. I walked in. I said, "Where's Joe?" I'm on my way to a meeting. I said, "Where's Joe?" He goes, "I'm Joe." I said, "Glory to God." I said, "Joe, my car wouldn't pass your shop." I said, "Throw some ribs in a box. I got to have some." He goes, "Where are you?" I got to talk to him about the Lord. I got to give him the track. And I invited him to the church I was going to about 20 miles away. He said, "You're the first white person ever stopped." I said, "I won't be the only white person stopping here." I said, "I'm telling everybody about this place. My nose wouldn't let me go by it." He said, "I've been here." Listen, here's what he said. "I've been here for 30 years. You know what he was saying? I've been here a long time. I've been faithfully cooking what I'm cooking." Let me ask you a question. Are you faithfully doing something for God? A lot of us, we have problems. There was an old-timer, old Lee Robertson. He used to counsel. He'd sit on the front row. Now, I believe in counseling. I believe you ought to go see your pastor. But he used to say this. He'd counsel you, and he'd sit on the front row of the church and have you come sit by him. He'd go to his office. He'd have said this. He'd start asking questions. First question he asked, "How's your Bible reading?" "Oh, not too good." "Okay, go back and come back and see me later after you get your Bible reading straightened around." He said, "I want you to be faithful to read your Bible. I can't help it, but I'm going to be faithful to read the Word of God. How's God going to speak to you? And you want me to speak to you? You want to let God speak to you?" Then he says, "How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? Go work on that." Then he would say, how's your tithing and your offering? How's your giving? How's your church attendance? How's your witnessing? Have you invited anybody to church? Those are the five things that he would say. You know what he's asking? He's asking, "Look, you want God's help. But if you're not faithful to do what he's already said, that's clear in Scripture, how am I supposed to help you?" You know what God's looking for? God's looking for our lives to go, "Man, they're faithful to me. They love me. They're walking in love. Their life is just what it ought to be." That doesn't mean we're sinless, man. We still mess up. We mess up all the time. God says, "They're doing what I've asked. They're trying." You know what he's looking for? My kids are not perfect. Their dad's not perfect. But you know what I told my children? "I'm not looking for you to be great. I'm just looking for you to be good. I'm looking for you to try. I'm looking for you to be honest. I'm looking for you just to try your hardest, to be your best." I said, God does not expect you to win millions to the Lord. God does not expect you to preach the greatest sermons in the world. He just expects your life to shine forth his light. He expects your life to give off a... Can I say lastly, I believe we need to give off a sincere smell. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, 15, and 16. Let me just read it to you. The Bible says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?" Can I say, none of us are sufficient. There's always more room to improve. But God says, we are the sweet smell of Christ. We are the sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we're the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And as I've studied this, and as I've looked at this, and as I've prayed about this, and as I've dug into Scripture, here's what I found. I found that when Israel would go out, when nations would go against a nation, this savor of life unto life was talking about an aroma that everybody can sense. And what he says is the savor of life unto life. You see, when an army goes out to battle, and they're the victors, and they bring their spoils, they bring their prisoners with them, when the victors come back into home, they go, "Woo, Grandma, make us spaghetti. She got meatballs, fresh bread, glory to God." Down south, they go, "I smell fried chicken, hallelujah. Somebody got the grill on." That's the victors. They're coming home. It's a smell of victory, a smell of life unto life. But those same smells, the victims are smelling. And they come in and they go, "Well, that's a strange smell. Oh, fellas, we in trouble. We ain't home no more. It's the smell of death unto death. We're in serious trouble." You see, my friends, this morning, I believe God wants us to give off that sincere smell. When people get around us, they'll go, "God won't be able to do that." But we ought to be able to sense the same thing. We ought to just give off that aroma in the words we speak, in the actions, the way we live. Listen, ought to be something different about being a Christian. Ought not be like everybody else. Ought not sound like everybody else. Ought not act like everybody else. Ought not go where everybody else goes. Ought not do what everybody else does.
Right. Yes, sir.
So God can lean over heaven and go, "That's what I'm looking for." Our lives ought to never, ever, now quit here. I've only quit twice, one more time. We must never give off a stinking smell. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 38, verse 4 and 5, "For mine iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me." By the way, so are yours. Amen. He says, "My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness." Here's what God says. God said, your life will stink in His nostrils and in the nostrils of other Christians if you live it foolishly. If you live it without counsel, without guidance, without God, if you just try to do your own thing and go your own way, God, David said, "Hey, my wounds stink." He says, "My own fault." You got nobody else to blame. You got nobody to blame but you. God said, David said, "My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness." Listen to what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. The Bible says, "Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor." Preacher, let me say a little bit to you as I preach to myself for a few seconds. Those of us, mom and dad, let me say, I include you in this too. But those that are supposed to be wise and we're supposed to give honor to, God said, you better be careful that your life, he says, you let a bunch of junk in there, you let them dead flies in your ointment, he said, they're going to give forth a stinking savor. He says, so doth a little folly, some foolishness, some just jesting that just don't make any sense. Just a little teeny bit of wickedness. Just, I only did it once. It only takes one time to make an impression. One time.
That's right.
You mess up one time, you don't get a second chance. Yeah, you'll be able to get it right. I understand all that forgiveness of God. But you'll never get it right in somebody's life. They're going to, "Yeah, he's like everybody else. He's just like us. Why do I need to go to church? If he goes to church, that's the best God has. I don't need that." I had my cousins tell me that. Because I've seen some of the lives of the people that are in my family. Sometimes it's because of me.
Right.
And they said, "If you're the best God has, I don't need it. Because you're no different than I am." How sad. How sad. Numbers chapter 28 says this, and I'm done. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel, saying to them, My offering and my bread for my sacrifice is made by fire. For a sweet savor unto me shall ye observe to offer unto me in their due season." Can I say, God is simply looking. Listen, He's simply looking for our lives to give off a sweet smelling savor. God wants to lean over heaven and go, that's what I've been waiting on. That's what I've been waiting on, child. That's what I've been waiting on. I've been waiting on that sweet smell. I sure hope our lives give off that sweet smelling savor. I don't want God to lean over my life, and I know He has. Before He leaned over, He went, what is He doing? He already knows. You see, this morning, God's looking for a sweet smelling savor from our lives.
Amen. Amen.